Since its start in the early 1990s, Oakland hip-hop group The Coup has risen up as one of the most influential underground acts in modern rap. With its releases like Kill My Landlord and Steal This Album, The Coup has forged a musical style that merges hip-hop, funk, and soul with radical politics. This program, founder Boots Riley, talks about The Coup's music and message. Along the way, we'll also relate the origins of hip-hop, the present, and the future. From Pacifica Radio KPFT in Houston, Texas, this is Antitrust, the life and times of Boots Riley and The Coup.
Ignite most strikes in the teachers there fight for pay hikes like cliques with spikes. I cling to my turf tight, get low like a smurf. My earth is my birthright. You salivate at the sounds of the bell. I come sick and make your lymph nodes swell. Nickel plated teeth and tongue as well, so you can tell when I'm shooting off my mouth. The politicians start to bail. When I shoot from the school, I'm yelling, give me all the loot. Bourgeoisie pimping me now. My digits don't compute. Chilling in a house of ill repute. But is it wearing camisoles or purple pinstripe suits? Fact to earth and comments, macroeconomics, yakking to your vomit. I'll come up on the lick, sweat oozing out my skin just to get another fin. Change my name to Valerie so I can get wet.
With only 5 releases in 15 years, The Coup has been more known by the public for What Happens Off Record than the recordings themselves. In 2001, the duo Raymond Boots Riley and DJ Pam, the Funkstress, generated a national controversy with the soon-to-be-released album Party Music. The cover, conceived before the September 11 destruction of the World Trade Center, showed Riley and DJ Pam blowing up the Twin Towers. Riley called it a statement on capitalism and refused to apologize. Party Music was quickly pulled and its original art replaced. The new cover displayed a martini glass turned into a Molotov cocktail. CNN and global news organizations soon descended on a hip-hop group that had quietly built a following on revolutionary 808s.
Still make that stuff that people call gangster-ish to ride to in the car with the system loud.
At a tour stop in Houston, Riley speaks modestly about The Coup's history and its message.
Coup recordings relate street life, politics, struggle, and freedom, amid tales of fighting corrupt police, squaring off against imperialism, and bringing justice to poor communities. The Coup always returns to themes of common people making change.
Call it P-Funk meets the Panthers.
This feeling's popular, cause people's kids need socks and shirts, and if you pull, you get whopped the worst. Hope to Hollywood endings without plot the first. Be happy all I did so far is drop a verse. See, I'm old school, like Coke lines and LP covers. Learn how to hustle, then run when the heat hovers. Fist to my heart, warm embrace how I greet others. Cooking with no lights, make my fish burn like deep cover. Keep cover, cause I'm fenced to spray. I work from sun up to sundown and miss the day. You've been saying for months that you gon' fix my pain while the hours of my life get away.
Riley says his own work as political organizer and thinker influenced his perspective in this regard.
They teach us the history of struggle as a couple leaders deciding to do this and do that, and they made everything change. When we know that it was millions of people that were making things happen, you know, and thousands of people that were making decisions about things, right? And so even in the history of music, they try to make music, they try to make hip-hop the history of a few people who happen upon this thing, as opposed to the history of a people's struggle. So they try to separate it from that and make it be about these anecdotes. And you're not real hip-hop if you don't know this record and know that record. But in reality, you got to know the people and how we developed them, what stages we went through. Because once they disconnect it from black people and make it about these few people, then they devoid it of its political significance and where it stood, what it came out of, and where it was in the struggle and why it developed in the first place. I mean, I think that's how we're taught history. You know what I'm saying? We're taught that it's individuals, even U.S., you know, history of, you know, even the capitalist version of history you know, talking about George Washington crossing the Delaware. If he had crossed it by himself, his head would have been cut off. Right? But so they even tell that part of it individualistically, right? Because they want to make us feel powerless. They teach the Panthers, they teach you about Huey. They teach you maybe about Eldridge, or not they, but even when you learn about the Panthers. But, you know, they don't, you don't realize that a lot of the developments of the Panthers did come from some rank and file members. And it, and the legacy of the Panthers has to do with how the hell did they make all these things happen, and how did their organization work inside and get people. So we look at progressive history about the, has being to do with about these leaders, and then we feel like we can't do it because we'll never be that super revolutionary or this super revolutionary.
The coup earned notoriety early in the 90s amid a growing Bay Area hip-hop scene that included Spice One and Paris.
Yet the coup stood in stark contrast of every other Bay Area crew, with political content reminiscent of East Coast rap, a rhyme style most associated with the West Coast and live band that was more of a staple of old school soul. The coup was ahead of its time. Riley and company hit the scene before groups like Outkast or the Fugees saw major success from Divergent Styles. The latest record, Pick a Bigger Weapon, draws Riley from a variety of soul and funk influences, but it's the lyrics focusing on the themes of uprising and freedom that have been the coup's signature for over 15 years. The band's new label, Epitaph, gave Boots Riley the freedom to do what the coup does best, make political hip-hop. Here's Boots Riley on the first single, My Favorite Mutiny.
Death to the pigs is my basic statement. I spit street stories till I taste the pavement. Trying to stay out the pen where we face enslavement. Had a foolproof hustle till they traced the payments. I was gripping my palm around something wrong. Trying to find Psalm number 151. To forget what I'm owed as I clutch the Komodo red. Put down the bottle and come get the gun. Let's get off the chain like Kunta Kinte with a Mac-10. That one was gone like a dollar in a crack den.
Epitaph is best known for signing punk rock acts, but label executives say the coup status among diverse audiences making an obvious choice to sign to a record deal. The coup's 5 full-length recordings have come out on 4 different labels, but Riley says he's more hopeful than he's ever been. This is the first time the coup has ever had a recording in stores on an official release date.
Feels good. Feels like we got a chance to put it out there, actually.
Riley is considered by many to be one of Oakland, California's great hip-hop exports. His distinctive voice and colorful rhymes have earned him critical praise. Riley cites a diverse range of musical influences growing up, some which seem evident on Pick a Bigger Weapon.
Let's see, I'd say Ohio Players, Stevie Wonder, Prince, what else? Aretha Franklin, the Jacksons, things like that. Then later, I got deeper into the funk and things like that, but then later, and you know, also later, other things like The Cure, things that people wouldn't think, The Cure, The English Beat, you know, all that pop stuff. Basically, I was one of those 13-year-olds that was listening to whatever was on the radio, and that really formed a lot of my songwriting sensibilities, you know. And music composition sensibilities too. But putting that combination in, and that's where you get a lot of stuff from me, a lot of music from me. And then later on, I also started learning about Gil Scott Heron, The Last Poets.
I understand that time is running out.
Gil Scott Heron and The Last Poets are largely credited
for breaking the ground with Become Hip Hop and, more importantly, for groups like The Coup,
a subgenre that will become known as conscious rap.
America is a terrorist.
Terrorist.
Killing the natives of the land. Killing and stealing has always been America's master plan.
Terrorist.
To control the earth and everything on it. To divide and conquer is all they wanted.
Terrorist.
America is a terrorist. Killing the buffalo that roam the plains.
Terrorist.
Slaughtering and killing animals was turned into a game. Giving blankets contaminated with smallpox to the natives who were here. The beginning of germ warfare. The beginning of white fear.
Terrorists.
Conscious rap centers on social issues. Its heyday was in the late 1980s, when groups like Public Enemy dropped classic releases like It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like.
However, it was not Public Enemy, Boogie Down Productions, or X-Clan that birthed the coup. Instead, hearing Rapper's Delight on the radio, Riley says, influenced his direction both musically and politically.
The first time I heard what's called hip-hop right now was they were playing Sugar Hill Gang on the radio. And me, and I was in Oakland, but me and a friend that was from Detroit said, hey, they playing that Hambone music on the radio. Why we call it Hambone? Because way before anybody said hip-hop broke out to the mainstream, I lived in Detroit. And my older brother and his friends and everybody on the block used to do Hamboning, which was like slapping your knee to your chest. And they would be rapping at the same time as making a beat on their body and capping on each other. And that was before, you know, so this whole origins narrative of, you know, hip-hop started, you know, when two people bumped into each other in the South Bronx, and then it spread from there. That's kind of mythology in the sense that when it came everywhere else, black folks didn't say, oh, they got this new kind of music. People said, oh, okay, that's that same old, because we knew what it was. It was already here. That's where it broke out onto record, and it had a lot of force and a lot of energy there. But it was also in different ways in different places. It was already there. It was, you know, Pig Me Markham in 1963 had a hit called Here Come the Judge, which sounds like a Sugar Hill Gang record. He's rapping, and it's a funky beat. It's not just, you know, and then even since then, hip-hop has developed and had things coming out of different places. In Houston, screw music is a big development and should almost be like an element of hip-hop. And it's a development in hip. You know, why do they only talk about hip-hop as a history until the 80s? Hip-hop is still here. It has a history that has developed, in which the Bay Area is part of that development. LA is definitely part of that development. The Midwest and the South is part of that development. But that origins narrative is talks about a few people coming to bed. That's the same way they teach us history about everything.
The Coup's first full-length release, Kill My Landlord, came just as conscious rap's dominance was coming to an unexpected close. The Coup did songs with common conscious rap themes such as, but it was perhaps the first to sprinkle Marxism in the mix.
Oh yeah, we about to do this. Presto, read the Communist Manifesto. Guerrillas in the midst of Guevara and Manesto. So what a brother wouldn't have. Yo, no. Dough a flow for the Mac, and we the hoe, so grow, cause the lynching brothers Mike and Hung. Rhetoric flowing from the tip of my mouth, say tongue.
Deficit, right, money spent, right, cause they clicked on my nine as they cut welfare 25%.
And I dissent as I clinch and raise my
fist. We did away with that.
So you could get with this, here's a twist, cause we'll overthrow like Kwame Nkrumah. Spread around the world as if it were a business rumor. Bam, bam. Cuts a record like a surgeon, cuts a tumor from a brain.
We're all cooped up.
From 400 years of exploitation, anesthesia provided by your local TV station. Patience is not a virtue.
I ain't waiting.
Turn this thing over like Bush did a boatload of Haitian.
In May 2006, for an interview on the blog Cocaine Blunts, Riley said that the Coup's label, Wild Pitch, didn't know how to sell the record. In fact, Wild Pitch became notorious for its legendary roster and for its troubled marketing.
The
The label boasted rap all-stars like Gangstar, Ultramagnetic MCs, and Main Source, but its acts often struggled in many fronts. Riley says when Wild Pitch released Taking These, the first single off Kill My Landlord, public relations confusion had unintended benefits.
What happened was interesting. Our first single came out, was put out to the press, and about, it got four big reviews, like one of them was The Source, but three of them said, this is more gangster rap from East Oakland. And I was like, mad at the time. I was like, gangster rap? You didn't even listen to the lyrics. You just heard the music and assumed it was gangster. But people read it and said, more gangster rap from East Oakland? I'm finna go get that shit, you know? And that got us a whole different fan base. Then at the same time, we were doing music and connected to E-40, Spice One, who we came out with in the first place. So our first couple records did not get the critical acclaim that they have now. We couldn't even get reviews in the magazine. It was only in hindsight later on that people went back and called our first two albums, you know, genius or whatever. But at first it was thought of as that Bay Area shit, that West Coast shit, you know, like lowbrow, you know, because of the music behind it.
The Coup ended up with a mixed audience composed of those who gravitated to the political message and those who went for the West Coast sound. Its early tours included opening for hardcore acts like the Ghetto Boys and Street Military. Riley says that hip-hop for an independent audience wasn't what you might expect.
As a matter of fact, many people that would be classified as gangster rap come up to me and be like, yeah, we talking about that same shit. We letting the people know what's really going on, right? It's just they have a different analysis than I do, but it's still, there's still that heart in there.
Around this time, what would become coined gangster rap was ascending the charts, and hip-hop artists with political messages faded from mainstream radio.
Most appeared relegated to cult status. A few came out swinging against what they saw as the pillaging of hip-hop for profit.
For Wild Pitch, the response came in the form of a cold second release, 1994 Genocide and Juice.
Well, anyway, I said, that's no burglar, that's my butler. Mr. Rockefeller, let me in on the gossip. I heard you and Mr. Getty are getting into rap music or something.
Yes, we have this thing we do with our voices. We sing like authentic rappers.
Oh, David, you must do it for us.
Well, if they can make this music more funky. Let me see if I can do my voice like those rappers.
Here we go.
Well, if you're blind as Helen Keller, you can see I'm David Rockefeller. So much cash up in my bathroom is a ready teller. I'm outrageous, I work in stages like syphilis, but no need for prophylactics. I'm a up your own's amino max. It ain't rough, but my green got some amino acid. Keep my hoes in check, no rebellions if your ass a curve. It wouldn't be the first time I done made a massacre. Nigga, please, how you figure these motherfuckers like me got stocks, bonds, and securities? No impurities. Straight Anglo-Saxon when my family got they sex on. Don't let me get my flex on. Do some gangster shit. Make the army go to war for Exxon. Long as the money flow, I'll be making dough. Welcome to my little pimp school. How you gon' beat me at this game? I made the rules. Flash a little cash, make you think you got class, but you really selling ass and hoe. Keep off my grass, unless you cutting it. See, I'm running shit. Trick all your motherfuckers and simps. I'm just a...
In the song Pimps, Riley assumes a wealthy character whose actions are contrasted against media images of pimps and gangsters. Such creativity was overshadowed by entertainment industry attention on gangster rap.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kinda hard being Snoop Dogg double G. But I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky yeah like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's?
Despite misconceptions, Riley contends Genocide and Juice were never intended as a jab at West Coast kingpin Snoop Dogg or the G-Funk he helped lead to Platinum Plex. But the Coup's label played it up exactly as that. Riley says he was in the dark about how Wild Pitch had promoted Genocide and Juice, but notes the second record marked a turning point for the Coup. Shortly after Genocide and Juice was released, original member E-Rock left the group, making the Coup a duo. This period was also a shift for the group's fan base.
On the East Coast, all the New Yorkers were all like, oh, that's that West Coast shit, so they wanted. People didn't know that we were, quote unquote, you know, revolutionary or whatever. So the label was trying to figure out how to let people know that. And yeah, I didn't know they were doing that. It's crazy. But yeah, whatever. That probably has a lot to do with how we were eventually pigeonholed and labeled.
At various points in his career, Raleigh says music had become incredibly frustrating. Not long after Genocide and Jews came out, Wild Pitch shut down and the coup was without a label for 4 years, Raleigh told the East Bay Express in April 2006 that he shifted between music and odd jobs during that time. A political activist since the age of 15, Raleigh also refocused on organizing. He also founded the activist group Young Comrades in 1996. However, politics, Raleigh says, has its own unique problems. As a teenager, he'd been active with groups like the Progressive Labor Party, but found some answers hollow. As a youth, Raleigh states he craved a greater connection, which brought him to the music in the first place.
Music was almost like a retreat from all of that. Like, okay, well, you guys don't want to talk to anybody about anything and don't want to, you know, have your hand on the pulse of the people. So I'm just going to get the word out there like this. You know, I'm not saying that all of that is exactly true, but that's how I was feeling. And I've always, it's always been a tug of war with me between music and organizing. It's hard to do both at the same time. I've been trying to do them both, and I've been successful at doing both a few times, but it's hard because I'm operating in this system, and, you know, an artist is... They really try to influence an artist to look in from the outside, and as opposed to being part of it and being subjective. They want you to be objective, which is bullshit in the first place, but they want you to be disconnected from what you're writing about.
With a title inspired by the late Abbie Hoffman's 1998 Steel, this album turned into a disappointment after the Coop's new home, Dog Day Records, shut its doors. By 2001, 75 Arc, a label supported by an internet startup firm, had secured the Coop a new contract and released what many fans regard as the Coop's greatest recording, Party Music.
I'm at the up in your dollars with telekinesis. I done tried every day and that shit decreases. Anti-crime bill pieces. We need cash and that's the anti-thesis. I'm pro overthrow of the hip-hop nation. Pro laying low till I'm off probation. Pro people control of the cash and corporations. Pro prophylactic, yet procreation. Anti-watered down drinks and fancy cups. Anti-promoters who don't ante up, but I'm not anti-club. I know that power is the most effective anti-drug. I'm pro Zapatista, pro Cuba, Viva, Polarizer, say La Migra, Policia, say Asesina. Let me show you what I mean. I'm anti-Republican and Democratic. If they self-destruct, that's anticlimactic. Tired of being honey like an antelope. Take the system by the throat, that's the antidote. So I pose a proposition. Take a look, be in support of opposition. Then be proactive, proceed with confidence. Cause you know that you can't change.
Cuts like the anthem Ride the Fence marked a new high point in the energy for the Coop's music. The politics were mixed with a new element, Raleigh's deeply personal rhymes about love and family, brought on by the birth of his daughter. The Village Voice, New York Times, and other publications called Party Music one of the greatest releases of the year. But international headlines over Party Music's original cover art, combined with the inability of 75 Arc to deliver products to stores, spell doom. Raleigh says he is proud of Party Music, as he is of any Coop record. The media attention, he has, forced him to learn more about himself and people around him.
I trust myself more and I trust other people more, to where I can just talk about things in a plain language, talk about my own life, and realize that other people have gone through the same things and will understand what I'm talking about. And so it's a little more personal.
The Coop's newest release came out in the spring of 2006. Pick a Bigger Weapon features a new label and new hope from Raleigh that the Coop truly has its first side of success.
Along with the Coup's resurgence is a new interest in conscious rap.
The war in Iraq and economic problems has spawned a new wave of hip-hop activism by artists like The Coup, Immortal, Technique, and this group, Dead Prez.
Where do I start at? Here we go. Check me, check.
When Tupac come back, beef is on W. You wonder why the black and Latin people don't love you. Well, I'm first. We can start with the church. You politicizing religion. You and your father's the worst. And next, y'all took welfare checks. Give us diseases and then collect healthcare debts. What up? What up? You only think about yourself. You sending niggas to war and your rifle is on the shelf. George, you something else. Osama give me death 1,000 times worse than you. Find them yourself. And why act like you care about the troops in Iraq? Because if you did, you would let them fly back.
In many cases, increased interest has yet parlayed into sales.
In some respects, for groups like The Coup, the upsurge of conscious hip-hop has been a mixed blessing.
The crowd is different.
Riley says years back, The Coup played largely to black audiences. Today, he's aware The Coup's audience is mostly white. Most might say a group best known for rapping about the black power themes to white young people may seem ironic.
Riley defends the content as applying to broad communities. However, he remarks that the dilemma presents unique challenges.
It's a battle that we're dealing with, that we deal with, and we can promoters promote to where they think our audience is, and they don't really have an idea on that. And they also promote to the crowd that they want to have in there. So there's a lot of racism and gentrification in hip-hop promoting, you know, that, you know, we try to counter in some extent, but as we get bigger, we'll be able to counter that more.
Label heads at Epitaph say the importance of the group to hip-hop makes sales important, but secondary. Commercial radio won't touch the group, neither will MTV. Riley seems fine with that. He says a growing audience and people singing his lyrics in the audience at Coup's shows mean more.
People are dancing. It's not just like standing and bobbing your head. We try to, and that's cool because we try to make the music like so that you can dance with it.
You have been listening to Antitrust, The Life and Times of Boots Riley and The Coup.
Music you heard this program was by The Last Poets, The Coup, Gangsta, Public Enemy, Snoop Dogg, and Dead Prez, among others.
Production support was provided by the Upper Bound Math and Science students of the University of Houston.
Lawrence Fennell.
Brandon Wilson.
Juanita Gonzalez.
T.J. Torrey.
Catherine Gable.
Jamal Hood.
Christine Freeman.
Steven Stokenberry.
Akiko Moore.
Ryan Hadnot.
Jasmine Bryant.
Francis.
Abel Espinoza.
Brandy Hall.
Xavier Neal.
Jacqueline Randall.
Isaac Gonzalez, a.k.a. ICE.
Ramael Hyunba.
Ty Kao.
Cherie George.
Nia Deese.
Rebecca Jones.
Trisha Mantry.
Special thanks to 90.1 KPFT and a very special thanks to Mr. Ernesto Aguilar.
This program was produced at the Pacifica Foundation Houston radio station, 90.1 KPFT. For more information about the Pacifica Foundation, visit www.pacifica.org. More information about the Texas station is at www.kpft.org. Pacifica founded the motto of commercial-free, listener-supported, independent radio. You are encouraged to support your local community radio station. Your pledge makes a difference in keeping independent radio, free expression, and access to programs like this alive. Thanks for listening.